Have you ever seen one of those bumper stickers that say something about random acts of kindness? I thought sure Dolly Smith had one on her back bumper, but I went around there and verified this morning she doesn't have one. I used to see those a lot more than I do now, especially around Memphis. But I read last week how that bumper sticker originated. In the spring of 1993, Professor Chuck Wall was teaching a human relations class at Bakersfield College in California. He was pondering his next class assignment and was half listening to the radio news when he heard this: "We have another random act of senseless violence to report." In the seconds that followed, he coined the phrase. I just took out the word violence and stuck in the word kindness. All of a sudden, I had a great phrase that turned a negative into a positive. Later that day, he walked into his classroom and told 18 students ranging in age from 18 to 67 to pick up their pens. This week's assignment: today I will commit one random act of senseless kindness. Wall says that hands went up and the students seemed confused. One student complained, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Wall explained they wanted me to tell them what kindness was about. I insisted that they figure it out for themselves. When the class met next, one week later, the students were the most animated that he had ever seen them. Each had a story to tell. Shane Gautreaux, 20, had distributed blankets he'd bought from the Salvation Army to a group of homeless people who lived under Bakersfield's Beale Street overpass. Lisa Holloman, 28, had rescued a ragged stray collie, bathed and fed it, then put up posters trying to find the dog's owners. One day later, the collie was reclaimed. Joe Marshall, 55, and recently divorced after 37 years of marriage, set aside her anger at her then out-of-work former husband and counseled him on how to obtain an extension on his unemployment benefits. And Jessica Fredrickson, 41, committed perhaps the ultimate act of generosity, spying a harried motorist circling the student parking lot. She pulled out of the space that she had just acquired and waved him into it. Wall said, "What was important to me was the impact the assignment had on them personally." The students began their own campaign. They printed bumper stickers. "Today I will commit one act of random kindness. Will you?" It was the beginning. The county sheriff, Carl Sparks, ordered 150 bumper stickers for his patrol cars. Businesses began to underwrite the printing cost, and the students, now making a dollar on each bumper sticker, began donating the proceeds to the Kern County Braille Center. Professor Chuck Wall is blind. Dr. Wall is currently the professor of management and human relations at Bakersfield College. At this time, he is deeply involved in the Random Acts of Kindness project, which has received international attention. Wall has copyrighted the kindness phrase, and he licenses it at minimal rates to nonprofit groups. Even though he is blind, he does not consider himself disabled, but merely must spend extra time dealing with one of life's little nuances. That was an interesting story to me because kindness is the second attribute of love listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Love is the subject of the whole chapter. This chapter asserts the importance of love in verses 1 through 3. It defines or describes love in verses 4 through 7. It asserts the permanence of love in verses 8 through 12. And then It asserts the preeminence of love in verse 13. Last week, we looked at the first quality of love in the list, and that was long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. Today, we are looking at the second quality of love in the list, and it is that love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Love is kind." This is the only place where this word occurs in verb form in the New Testament. The word occurs in the form of a noun or adjective 7 other times in the New Testament. What we want to know is, what does it mean, love is kind? And how does it work? The way we're going to do that is to examine how the word kind and similar words are used in the Bible and draw some conclusions about it. I checked 8 English translations of the Bible, and they all translated this word kind in 1 Corinthians 13:4. It means to show oneself mild, to be kind, to use kindness. I preached this sermon out at Oak Ridge earlier this morning, and when it was over, Don Dalrymple came up to me and told me something that was so good, even though I haven't had time to process it yet, I want to try to tell it to you. One of the nuances of the word kind is mild. To show oneself mild, to be mild. And Don Dalrymple told me that Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, apparently was not from the upper crust of society. And a man named James Dalrymple introduced him to the upper layers of society. And Robert Burns later wrote a poem. And there's a line in one of his poems that says, "Dalrymple mild, Dalrymple mild." And he said, "You helped me to clear up the connection between mildness and kindness." What Burns was saying about Dalrymple was, Dalrymple was kind to me. Dalrymple mild, Dalrymple mild, Dalrymple was kind to me. The root word in the Greek is useful. It describes someone who will do anything that will be of use to another. I will live my life to benefit others. That's what he's saying. Love is conscious of using itself on others. Love is useful to other people. It's not an abstract idea. It's not an adjective. It's the deed of kindness. It's the deed of generosity. It's the act that you do for someone else that they need done. When it says love is kind, it isn't talking about a sweet attitude. It's talking about a useful deed to someone else. Love gives itself away to help somebody, even an enemy. When Jesus said, "Love your enemies," he didn't say, "Feel good about them." He was simply saying this, "Do good things, even for your enemies, even for people who are hateful to you." Paul does not picture love here in ideal surroundings by any means. This is not a great group of people, frankly, who have warm affection and wonderful friendship. These people are at each other's throat, the Corinthian church. And he says, in the hard surroundings of a sinful, selfish church, in the hard environment of a bad world that brings negative influences to bear on love, that's the atmosphere in which the true character of love will really shine bright. Let's look at some of the other places in Scripture where this word is used. And you don't have to look these up, I'll just read them to you. The first place I want to read from is Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here's the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11:30 saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy." The word easy in Matthew 11:30 is a noun form of the word translated kindness in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Jesus is saying, "Get in this yoke with me and I'll express to you kindness. And my kindness to you is in helping you with your burdens, making your burdens easy in life." Next, I want to look at Luke 6:32-36. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Next, I want to read Romans 2:1-4. "You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? God is a model of kindness. God is kind. God does acts of kindness. God has done again and again things to benefit even His enemies. The next passage that uses this word kind is 1 Peter 2:1-3. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." God is just good. He just does good things. He does useful things. He does helpful things for people. And then we read these words in Ephesians 4:32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." There we read about kindness in connection with being tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us. Love forgives 70 times 7 when it has been wronged. Love, long-suffering, endures the injuries of others, and kindness pays them back only with good deeds. Long-suffering says, "I'll take anything from my enemies." Kindness says, "I'll give something to my enemies to meet their need." Now I want to draw some conclusions about this aspect of love, this aspect of love that is kindness, being kind, based upon these passages where the word kindness is used in Scripture. First of all, this quality of love, being kind, can be shown by doing good to the souls of others. It can be shown by instructing them in the doctrines of the Christian faith, by stirring them up to their duty, by setting a good example for them to follow, by counseling them and warning them when they are in danger, by persuading them to go to the house of God, and by reclaiming them when they have strayed off course. Secondly, this quality of love, showing kindness to others, can be practiced in the material things of this world. Helping people out of difficulties and calamities is one way that this can be done. Ministering to the hungry or thirsty or strangers or naked or sick or in prison or in suffering or of some other kind is a way of fulfilling this duty. Jonathan Edwards said, "We may do good to others by furthering their outward estate or substance, or in abiding their good name, and thus promoting their esteem and acceptance among men, or by anything that may truly add to their comfort or happiness in the world, whether it be in the kind word or the considerate and benevolent deed." Thirdly, this quality of love, showing kindness, is to be exercised towards all kinds of people. We are to do good both to the good and to the bad, as our Heavenly Father, who maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. We should do good to both friends and enemies, for our Lord Jesus says, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." And we should do good to both thankful people and unthankful, after the example of our Heavenly Father, who is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And the command is that we be merciful as He also is merciful. Our showing kindness should not be done in a mercenary spirit. A mercenary is someone who works or serves merely for monetary or material gain. The command in Luke 6:35 is, "Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." And then Jesus was dining in the house of a ruler of the Pharisees in Luke 14, and He said to His host in verses 12 through 14, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you have a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and then you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Fifthly, our performance of this quality of love should be done cheerfully or heartily and with real goodwill to the one we would benefit. Jonathan Edwards said, "What is done heartily is done from love, and what is done from love is done with delight, and not grudgingly or with backwardness and reluctance of spirit." Sixthly, our performance of this quality of love should be done liberally and bountifully. When the Apostle Paul informed the Corinthian church of the need of the poor saints in Judea, he encouraged them to be bountiful in their contributions for them, assuring them that he which soweth sparingly would also reap sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully would also reap bountifully. Seventh, our performance of this quality of love should show up in real deeds and not just in words and wishes. 1 John 3:18 and 19 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence." And James 2:15 and 16 says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? There's no profit to the one in need in a situation like that. And there's no sincerity unless the desire that they be clothed and fed is followed up with deeds and actions." One man illustrated this quality of love, showing kindness, like this. Two men are on a trail. It is a precipice about a foot wide on the side of a sheer rock mountain wall. They meet head on. How are they going to get past each other? There's a conflict. They try it one way and it doesn't work. They scratch their heads. One man doesn't say anything. He just lies down flat on the precipice, and the other man walks over him. And that's how they did it. That's love, because love doesn't mind getting walked on to benefit somebody else. That's the spirit that Paul is after in the Corinthian church. He says, if you would only minister in a non-retaliating, self-sacrificing manner, not avenging and only returning kindness, then your spiritual gifts would mean something. This is a grace that can heal the hurts of the world. This is a grace that can heal the works of the workplace. This is a grace that can heal the hurts in a family. This is a grace that can heal the hurts in a church. Elizabeth Payson Prentice was the author of a hymn that we sometimes sing called, "More Love to Thee, O Christ." Her life was plagued with illness and earthly suffering. At one point, in short succession, she lost two of her young children to death. At that time, she said, "Our home is broken up. Our lives are wrecked. Our hopes are shattered. Our dreams are dissolved. I don't think I can live another moment." But she never lost her hope in the love of God. During her time of suffering, she wrote, "To love Christ more is the deepest need and the utmost cry of my soul." And that was the beginning of her writing that hymn, "More Love to Thee, O Christ, More Love to Thee. This is my earnest plea, More Love, O Christ, to Thee." We are finding out more about the love of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is the thing that we find out about it today. Love is kind. Love shows kindness. Brothers and sisters, love is kind. So let's be kind to one another. Amen. And with that, we'll sing our final hymn of the day. It is hymn number 441.